Welcome to KiteLine from WFHB that focuses on issues in the prison system and beyond.
Behind the prison walls, a message is called a kite. Whispered words, a note passed hand to hand, a request submitted to the guards for medical care. Illicit or not, sending a kite means trusting that other people will bear it farther along until it reaches its destination. Here on KiteLine, we hope to share these words across the prison walls.
The price of prison and jail phone calls across the U.S. will increase. The Federal Communications Commission voted this week to raise the minimum and maximum prices that prison and jail phone services, like Securus Technologies and Global Tel Link, can charge inmates and their loved ones for phone calls. The new legal call price rates range from a minimum of 10 cents per minute to a maximum of 18 cents per minute, compared to the 2024 order of call price rates, which ranged from a minimum of 6 cents per minute to a maximum of 12 cents per minute. However, these new rates will jump even higher because the order additionally includes an inflation factor of 6.7% to the rates. This inflation factor will increase the rates currently and allow for the continued increase of rates going forward. The Federal Communications Commission has stated the new rates allow jail phone providers to recoup expenses related to the surveillance of prison and jail phone calls. Inmates and their loved ones continue to, in part, pay for their own surveillance while in custody. In Cleveland, Ohio, Tasha Grant, a 39-year-old and double-leg amputee, died in Cuyahoga jail custody in May. Grant was taken to Metro Health Hospital for chest pains and died there 3 days later. Body camera footage shortly before her death was just released on October 20th, which shows officers restraining Grant while she is heard saying, quote, "I can't breathe." 13 minutes after the restraint, she went into cardiac arrest and died. The medical examiner has ruled her death as a homicide. The attorney for Tasha Grant's family released a statement saying, quote, "Ms. Grant experienced a mental health crisis, but rather than treating her with compassion and professionalism, officers physically restrained her, ultimately causing respiratory issues that resulted in her passing on May 5th. Ms. Grant's loved ones are working tirelessly to ensure that this kind of tragedy doesn't happen to another family. We will not stop in our quest for justice for Ms. Grant," end quote.
According to reporting by 404 Media, Customs and Border Protection has recently released a mobile facial recognition app that local and regional police can use to rapidly determine immigration status. The app, called Mobile Identify, is available on the Google Play Store, requiring a login.gov account to use. This follows previous reports of an internal Homeland Security facial recognition and fingerprinting app, Mobile Fortify, which is able to rapidly provide not just immigration status, but name and date of birth as well. A member of the House Homeland Security Committee, Benny Thompson, explained that, quote, "ICE officials have told us that an apparent biometric match by Mobile Fortify is a definitive determination of a person's status, and that an ICE officer may ignore evidence of American citizenship, including a birth certificate, if the app says the person is an alien," unquote. The provision of this app to local agencies is part of an ongoing expansion of the formal coordination between local police and immigration enforcement, which is a flashpoint of political controversy. The facial recognition used by ICE and coordinating agencies builds upon ICE's already formidable database, with information collected through a variety of means, including private industries like utilities via gray market data brokers. User manuals for the Homeland Security app Mobile Fortify suggest that the app may soon contain information from data brokers such as LexisNexis, which includes information such as the address and phone number. LexisNexis and other data brokers also incorporate social media analysis, potentially linking a facial recognition app like Mobile Fortify to real-time social mapping. In that case, a scan might soon reveal a list of family members, friends, and coworkers. In addition, ICE's use of open-source data analysis is not limited to immigration enforcement, and the department has been outspoken in their interest in using facial recognition data to identify protesters allegedly assaulting officers.
The Department of Homeland Security plans to funnel $10 billion through the Navy to construct new detention camps across the U.S. The plan intends to use the Navy's Supply System Command as a contracting arm to hire companies for construction and maintenance of the detention camps, which would sidestep the delays in contracts the DHS has been struggling to secure and allow for camps to be built more quickly than ever before. According to CNN, quote, "The new detention centers are likely to be primarily soft-sided tents and may or may not be built on existing Navy installations, according to sources familiar with the initiative," end quote. Detention camps are expected to be built in Louisiana, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Utah, and Kansas, and will attempt to hold 10,000 people each.
Up next, we share some news from Monroe County, Indiana, on their long-standing grassroots fight against jail expansion.
The Monroe County Council met for a 7-hour-long meeting on October 28th. The council considered whether or not to appropriate about $8 million for the purchase of the North Park property to construct a new jail. The Monroe County Board of Commissioners had urged the county council to pass two appropriations of funds for both the acquisition of land at North Park and money for design work on the jail. County Commissioner Julie Thomas spoke in favor of appropriating the money, saying that the county has already invested years into planning the jail project.
The current Justice Center building is poorly designed. There are a number of issues with it, but it cannot be added to structurally. It is impossible. And we have that study. We had that study done as well. So just to be clear, even if we have somebody throwing out numbers for what it would cost to add the space that we know we needed, in addition to what we have now, it didn't mean that we could actually build it. And so we did that subsequent study, and it demonstrates that. So in essence, this council and this board of commissioners approved the purchase last year. The question is, are you ready to pay the bill?
Council President Jennifer Crossley said the county cannot afford to foot the bill for the jail right now, especially in the aftermath of recently passing a tight budget. She also expressed concern about a new state law capping how much money local governments can spend on projects like this.
I guess right now it's just really tone deaf right now for us to continue to try to appropriate this much money after going through a rigorous amount of hell when it came to budget, and in light of SB1 and not having a fix and not having a word from our state legislators to say we hear you, because again, they talk a good game and then all of a sudden they can turn around and say something completely different. So in my mind, I want to have a fix first, we pause, and then we can move forward. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And I understand y'all can agree to disagree, but that's just me.
Councilmember David Henry said he had concerns about how transparent this process has been and questioned how much work has taken place outside the purview of the public. He said as a sitting council member, he hasn't even seen the most recent plans for the jail.
I do not see a pathway to the full facility as you've described. Thirdly, the purchase agreement was decided in the white heat of the election in October. And frankly, some of us were engaged in other work trying to either get elected or people elected. And I got to say, I appreciate the friction and the frustration up here to get something in place. But some of those codicils in the agreement need to be discussed and teased out today as to why I think we are where we are. And most importantly is the idea that if, yes, the design phase has continued, it hasn't happened in public view. There's been two presentations of the DLC design, one in the early winter and one in August, and everything else has been outside of the view of this room and outside of the council, and I have not seen it myself as a sitting member of council. So whatever decisions have been made behind closed doors that remove stakeholder items and requirements and add requirements have been done behind closed doors and presented twice to the public. And I think that's probably why there's interest this evening in how we got to where we are.
During public comment, Reverend Susan Frederick Gray of the Unitarian Universalist Church advocated against the new jail project, saying she doesn't think the scope of the jail project reflects the community's values.
Three things. Number one, it doesn't make financial sense to spend money building a brand new jail, especially as state and budgets are changing and our county and city are facing increasing pressures around budget. Doesn't make financial sense. Number two, it doesn't reflect the values of this community. We need to work on reducing incarceration, not creating beds for more incarceration, which could lead to ICE beds being rented here. We need to invest our resources in the kinds of things that reduce incarceration because that helps our whole community. So values should come first in this decision. And number three, I'm thinking very much of Charlotte Zietlow as she nears the end of her life. I think that we need to restore that building anyway. We should invest in restoring the Zietlow Justice Center as a reflection of our community and as honoring Charlotte Zietlow and her work for this community. Thank you.
Another resident, Reed Hepburn, warned that a new facility could open the door for federal immigration detention here locally.
On the concept of a new jail itself, I also want to echo what the Reverend shared. At this time in our country, with the direction that our country and our state especially is going, the idea of expanding our carceral infrastructure is quite frankly terrifying and ludicrous. I'm thinking specifically of State Attorney General Todd Rokita's attempt to force this county to hold people kidnapped by ICE. We have every reason to believe that's what this will be used for. We know that the current facility has largely not been at capacity to begin with. We know that building new facilities will lead to pressure for our county to incarcerate people that are part of our community and to illegally incarcerate them by the fascist regime that the state attorney general is cooperating with. So while Sheriff Marte has so far stood up to the state, this will not be his jail, and there's no guarantee the next sheriff will be either inclined to resist the state or capable of doing so. Very few people in our community look at the state of our country and think that what we need are more cages. I ask you to listen to the voices of our constituents, many of whom you'll hear today, and who have been protesting all year long, calling the county to resist Trump and resist ICE by not building this new jail. Thank you.
On the other hand, jail commander Kyle Gibbons gave a passionate testimony asking for immediate relief for inmates and staff. He outlined the poor conditions of the jail currently and made a plea to the council that the jail needs support.
I've got 240 inmates inside my facility right now, and I have to care about them every day. I don't get to have theories and ideas on how to fix things because I'm the person that has to fix it right now. And the problem with that is sometimes I feel like I don't have help. And it's not your fault. It's not the commissioner's fault. It's not anybody's fault in this room. But what is everyone's fault is we get lost in having a true conversation and talk about what we think should happen. I'm here. I was brought here specifically by the sheriff to do this job. I'm the best jail commander, I think, in the state. I work my ass off. And I'm here, I've been here for 15 hours today already because I care, just like you guys. And it's so hard to hear everyone talk about what's gonna happen down the road. I can't wait for that. And I know you guys can't either, but I'm back here pacing like a caged lion because it's so upsetting. And we just have, we line people up to talk about all these different things and say the same thing. Here we are, 3 years now. We've talked about the same thing, and I have the walls literally caving in inside the facility right now. I'm not saying we need a super jail. I'm not saying we need to spend millions on a property. What I am saying is this is not sustainable. I have 90 personnel working for me, and every day is a battle. We talked earlier. She said, how are you doing? I said, I'm not really sure how I'm doing right now. How are you? Because it's a war. And I'm the person that everyone in here wanted to see in this position. I'm the person my mom hoped would work in this job to fix the issue she saw. And I'm handcuffed. And what's it gonna take? Does someone have to die? And we could talk about this all the time. And law enforcement, anybody, something's gonna happen. And we're screaming for the rooftops that we need help. And we're all just talking. And not talking to each other. Thank you.
Thank you.
After nearly 2 hours of public comment, the council voted down both appropriation requests, effectively stopping the North Park project. The next Monroe County Council meeting will take place on November 7th. After a five-hour-long meeting last night, the Monroe County Council unanimously voted down allocating roughly $8 million to purchase the North Park property to build a new jail. Council members cited the cost of the new jail and state policy limiting spending for local governments as reasons to deny the appropriation of funds. Ahead of the vote, WFHB News spoke with Sam Holdeman of the local grassroots organization Care Not Cages about what was at stake with this vote. That interview is coming up next on the WFHB Local News.
So we're standing in the hallway outside the Nat U Hill Room at the Monroe County Courthouse, where the County Council is meeting. Right now, the County Council is weighing whether or not to appropriate some money for the purchase of the North Park site to build a new jail. So first off, could you say your name and what are your thoughts on the decision before the County Council?
My name is Sam Holdeman. My thoughts are that they should not appropriate this money for the North Park site. One, because North Park is a terrible location for a new jail. It's inaccessible. It would be economically disastrous for downtown Bloomington, and it would increase the number of people in jail, because right now the most common booking type in our jail is failure to appear. So if you take the courts and put them somewhere not accessible by public transportation and an hour and a half walk out of downtown Bloomington, chances are the number of people failing to show up for court dates will also increase, and thus the number of people in our jail.
So how are you or other members of Care Not Cages feeling about tonight's vote?
Feeling optimistic. I think the County Council has been moving away from, or like is much more willing to consider other options, and has expressed a lot of reservations with North Park. I definitely, you know, don't know how tonight's vote is going to go, but I think we have a very good chance. There is also a possibility that they will table it, unfortunately, because currently the way it's proposed includes money for the purchase of the property, and it also includes money to pay the jail architecture firm for services that they've done related to jail planning. So it's possible that they will split those two items and table it, which I don't think there's any need for them to do. They can just vote no on the whole thing, and then the commissioners can come back later and request money for the architectural firm. But when I talked to Kate Wiltz on Sunday, she mentioned that there was a possibility of it being tabled. So that would be frustrating, because like the public knows about this meeting. Like, it's crowded in there. Like, everyone has come out to like voice their opinion tonight. And so it would be frustrating for them to just be like, well, you know, we're putting it off until y'all are paying less attention.
Right. And we'll see how the County Council ends up voting here tonight. So what do you want to say to some of our listeners at WFHB who may be unfamiliar with this issue? What do you want them to understand about what's at stake here?
So number one, a new jail is not required. This whole discussion came about because of a lawsuit in 2008, which was brought by the ACLU because our jail was overcrowded and because there were poor conditions in the jail, both of which things need to be addressed and have been addressed to a large part. But they nowhere said that we had to build a new jail. We just have to make sure that we're maintaining our current jail and that we are keeping the number of people in jail at a safe level. And so the number one thing is that, and that our county has an opportunity to invest a lot of money in the services that would do that, that would keep people out of jail. You know, just now they were voting on the Sophia Travis grants, which, you know, in total are something like $200,000. And that's like what all kinds of nonprofits in this community rely on for just basic things. And so that is a drop in the bucket. I mean, they're talking about $230 million. So whatever million is to, like, it's just an exponentially larger amount of money on this. And so I guess I would say I want the county to take this opportunity to invest that money instead in services and supports for our community, because we're going to need every one of those dollars, because we are not going to be getting as much property tax revenue. We're not going to be getting any help from our state or federal government. And so we rely on our income tax to fund the things that we as a community want, like in Bloomington and Monroe County.
You know, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but how does this debate sort of fit into the idea of decarceration or community-based alternatives in Monroe County?
So, yeah, this is kind of a turning point for our county, because if we spend this huge amount of money, like, we will not have any money left. Our county credit card, so to speak, will be, like, maxed out for a generation to come. And as many people have expressed, like, in public comment and elsewhere, our country, our state are vastly over-incarcerated, and there's been a widespread community consensus that this is like a huge problem and something that we want to address collectively. And to do that, we need to put money behind it. Like, we need to actively invest in things to change the way that things are going. And so this is our opportunity, because if we commit this money to bricks and mortar and cages, then we just are going to have our hands tied for a long time.
What do you have to say to people who argue that opposing a new jail means ignoring immediate safety concerns inside the current jail?
Good question. Yeah. So our jail has to meet constitutional levels of care. That's for sure. And our current sheriff, Ruben Marte, has been doing a lot of like cleaning and renovating, like not on the scale of like a total renovation, but like repairs and stuff to make sure that it is sanitary and safe to be in. And the thing to remember is that even if they go forward with building this new jail, that will take years and years to build, and we need to maintain and make sure people are safe in the meantime. So to do that, like one way or another, we are going to have to invest time and money in making sure that the current jail is as livable as possible. Like that's not really the question here. The question is whether or not we want to, you know, further commit ourselves to a much larger and therefore harder to maintain facility in the future.
Okay, so just wrapping up here, if the county council does approve this money tonight, what does Care Not Cages plan to do next?
That is a great question. So if they do go forward with funding the property, that will be hard news, but it doesn't mean that they approve the current plan that DLZ has put forward. So the commissioners gave the jail architects, DLZ, basically the green light to continue with their design process. However, the county has yet to approve that, has yet to issue bonds, has yet to give any sort of green light to the actual funding. So we would continue to sort of fight those decision points. And especially one thing is that next legislative session, like in January, February or so, the county commissioners are going to the state house to request that our state legislature change current tax law to allow them to spend more than 25% of the local income tax on a project like this. And so we would also be like reaching out to, you know, people like Dave Hall and Matt Pierce and so on to make sure that they are opposing that.
Okay, I guess those are all of the questions that I have prepared for you. But is there anything else that you would like to add? Anything you'd like to say to our listeners at WFHB before we part ways?
So I think like frequently people in county government are like, yes, you know, we see that there's a lot of problems with this jail proposal, but we don't know what else to do. Like, we don't know what needs to fund. Like, we don't know what it looks like to invest in decarceration. And I think there are a lot of people in our community who have like really good ideas and know what we should be funding and know where there are needs and gaps and where we need money. And so I would like it would be amazing to see all that kind of like come together and just sort of like, you know, flood the county council with, hey, we need money for this. Hey, we need money for that. Because I think they respond well to very specific proposals and very concrete things when it's like a concrete thing of like, oh, wait, this road over here is not going to get funded if we spend all of our economic development local income tax on the jail. Then I think it becomes like an easier issue for them to sort of take action on, because I think sometimes they feel like if they vote no to something that they have to have a yes. And so I think the people in our community have all those answers collectively, but I don't know that they're making their way to the decision makers.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Reporting from inside the Monroe County Courthouse, I'm Cade Young. You just heard an interview with Sam Holdeman of the activist group Care Not Cages. That interview took place before the county council voted 0-7 to appropriate roughly $8 million for the purpose of purchasing the North Park property as a site to construct the new jail. Following the vote, two members of Care Not Cages submitted this statement via text message. And it reads, quote, "We at Care Not Cages are encouraged that the proposed mega jail on the North Park site has been blocked and will not be built. An enormous thank you to the nearly 100 people who showed up in person or online, to the over 20 people who gave public comment on Tuesday night, and to every single person over the years who has talked to their friends or family about the jail, helped hand out flyers, attended meetings, or just cared about the future of our community. And of course, thank you to the County Council for voting unanimously against the North Park site, standing up for the values of our community, and giving us a chance at a future with fewer cages and more community-based care. Our work continues. There are people in jail right now. The jail is still in need of urgent repair. The county is still considering new jail construction, and the future bed count, size, and design philosophy is yet to be determined. Carceral expansion remains a threat, and poor jail conditions continue to harm our community. But this was an important vote, and we as a community should all be proud. Care Not Cages will continue to advocate for expanded affordable housing, mental health and substance use treatment, food security, pretrial release, bail reform, transformative justice programs, jail reentry support, and all the essential services our community needs. Please join us in celebrating this victory and then continuing our collective work for decarceration and a better Monroe County." End quote.
This has been KiteLine. Thank you to everyone who contributed to the show. You can follow KiteLine Radio on all social media platforms. KiteLine is intended as a means of communication between people across prison walls. KiteLine, WFHB, or any affiliates airing this program are not responsible for the opinions expressed on the show. Thank you for listening.